Once upon a time, there lived a dreadful old man who lived in London. His name was Ebenezer Scrooge.
That's me, Ebenezer Scrooge. What do you mean by calling me mean or grouchy?
Because that's what you are, grouchy and mean.
Ah.
Yes, Ebenezer Scrooge was mean. A tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner, hard and sharp as a flint, from which no steel had ever struck out generous fire. Secret and self-contained, and solitary as an oyster. The cold within him froze his old features, nipped his pointed nose, shriveled his cheek, stiffened his gait, made his eyes red, his thin lips blue, and spoke out shrewdly in his grating voice. A frosty rind was on his head and on his eyebrows and his wiry chin. He carried his own low temperature about him. External heat and cold had little influence on Scrooge. No warmth could warm him. No wintry weather could chill him. Yes, he was mean. And Ebenezer Scrooge had a favorite expression of his.
Bah! Humbug!
And that was proof of his meanness and grouchiness.
Bah! Humbug!
Ebenezer Scrooge had been in partnership for many years with a man named Jacob Marley. But Marley had been dead for 7 years. And old Scrooge lived alone and disliked everybody. He had a clerk in his office named Bob Cratchit, and Ebenezer Scrooge hardly paid him a living wage.
What do you mean? I pay him 15 shillings.
How much is that in dollars, Scrooge?
Devalue the pound. About $2.
You only pay him $2 a week? My, you are a tightwad.
I am not a tightwad. I'm just careful about my overhead, that's all.
Well, one day, Bob Cratchit was working in the office, and Scrooge said,
Cratchit! Get on with your work!
But, sir, the fire is almost out, and it's too cold to work, sir. My hands are numb. I need another bit of coal to get warm, sir.
How many times must I tell you I can't waste coal? Get on with your work!
Yes, sir. Sir?
Well, what is it, Cratchit?
Sir, this is Christmas Eve.
Yes, Christmas Eve. So what? So what?
Well, I was wondering, sir, if I could have tomorrow off, sir.
Tomorrow off? Why?
Well, because it's Christmas, sir.
You mean you want the whole day just because it's Christmas?
Well, yes, sir. Is it all right, sir?
It is not Christmas. Bah, humbug. Just an excuse to pick my pocket. Oh, all right, Cratchit, but be here earlier next morning.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Bah, humbug. Christmas. Bah, humbug.
Late that evening, Scrooge left his dismal office and went to his dreary chambers. Chambers once occupied by his late partner, Marley. When he reached the house, he was amazed to see that the knocker on the door was...
I almost thought I saw Marley's face in that knocker. Bah, rubbish.
So up the stairs he went to his room. Everything seemed normal.
Nobody under the table. Nobody in the closet. Nobody under the bed.
And quite satisfied, he started to get ready to go to bed. And just then... Suddenly, right through the wall, and entering the room...
What? Who are you?
In life, I was your partner. Jacob Marley.
You are the ghost of Jacob Marley? But you are wearing chains. Why is that?
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. Is its pattern strange to you?
Jacob, tell me more. Speak comfort to me, Jacob.
I am here tonight to warn you that you have yet a chance and hope of escaping my fate, or you too will be wearing chains such as these. Listen, Ebenezer Scrooge. You will be haunted by three spirits.
Is that the chance and hope you had mentioned?
It is.
No, I'd rather not.
Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one.
But couldn't I take them all at once and have it over, Jacob?
Expect the second on the next night at the same hour, and the third on the next.
Oh, yes. Yes, Jacob. Yes.
And when the ghost vanished into the night, Scrooge said,
Why, he's gone. Ah, the whole thing is humbug. All rubbish and humbug.
The next night, Scrooge became very nervous as the clock approached 1 o'clock. And then it sounded out its gong.
1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. Nothing's happened. No spirits here. I knew it was all humbug.
But then...
What's that? Look at that. Is this the spirit that was told to come to me?
Is it? We'll find out when we continue the story of Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. First part of our three-part story of the Christmas Carol. We heard about that grouchy, mean old man, Ebenezer Scrooge, a man who lived alone and disliked everybody, a man who underpaid and overworked a clerk in his office named Bob Cratchit, a man who, when Christmas was mentioned, would answer,
"Bah! Humbug!"
Yes, Ebenezer Scrooge was mean and a real tightwad, but that meanness soon was to catch up with him. For Ebenezer Scrooge was visited by the ghost of his former partner, Jacob Marley. And Marley told him he would be visited by three spirits on three different nights at the stroke of 1 o'clock. And then Marley vanished. As we pick up our story today, Scrooge is about to go to bed when the bell on the clock sounded...
Why, what is that strange light? Why, somebody's drawing the curtains from my bed. Are you the spirit, sir, whose coming was foretold me?
I am.
But who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No, your past. Come with me and let's look at your past.
Oh, yes. Okay. Why, we're going through the walls of the room. Why, now we're...
Do you recognize this place?
Oh, good heaven, I was bred in this place. I was a boy here.
Do you recollect the way?
Oh, I could walk it blindfold.
Do you recognize that schoolhouse? The school is not quite deserted, even though it is Christmas Eve. A solitary child neglected by his friends is left there still.
Oh, it's me?
It's my own lost boyhood. My poor, forgotten self as I used to be. A poor, lonely boy. Oh, I wish.
Wish what?
Oh, nothing. There was a boy singing a Christmas carol at my door last night. I should have given him something, that's all.
Come, let's see another Christmas. Look, what do you see?
Yes, scenes of my childhood. Oh, happy times, happy Christmases when I was a youth. Oh, and look, there's Fezziwig, my boss when I was an apprentice in the warehouse. Oh, bless his heart, Fezziwig is alive again. Oh, and there's me, now a grown man. Oh, see, there comes Fezziwig into the room.
Yo-ho, my lads. No more work for tonight. It's Christmas Eve. Christmas, Ebenezer. Let's have the shutters up before a man can say Jack Robinson. What do you say? Let's have a Christmas party. Fiddlers, strike up!
And the party grew and grew. In came Mrs. Fezziwig and the three Miss Fezziwigs. In came men and women employed in the business. In came the housemaid, the baker, the cook, the milkman. In came the poor boy off the street. And they danced and danced and ate.
Oh, that was a wonderful Christmas get-together. Wonderful!
Wasn't Fezziwig a silly man?
A silly man? No, not a silly man.
What's the matter?
Oh, nothing particular. No, I should like to be able to say a word or two to my clerk just now.
Now I have one more place for you to visit. Look, this is another Christmas in your past.
Oh, no. No, no.
Yes, a Christmas when your partner, Jacob Marley, lay dying. And you left him lying alone when he needed a friend.
Oh, spirit, remove me from this place.
I told you these were shadows of the things that have been. That they are what they are. Don't blame me.
No, remove me. I cannot bear it.
And finally, when the spirit was extinguished and faded away, Ebenezer Scrooge drifted off into a restless sleep.
What? Oh, what's that ghostly light shining in the next room?
Ebenezer Scrooge, come in. Come into this room and know me better.
But who are you?
I am the voice of Christmas present.
The voice of Christmas present? Oh, indeed, I am afraid of what I may see.
Come with me.
Spirit, conduct me where you will. I went forth last night, and I learned a lesson. Tonight, if you would teach me, let me profit by it.
He and the spirit of Christmas present started out on a journey which would open the eyes of Ebenezer Scrooge. And yes, there would yet be another spirit, the spirit of Christmas yet to come. Don't miss the conclusion of Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. Yes, the conclusive chapter of Dickens' Christmas Carol. We learned that there was a grouchy, miserly old man by the name of Ebenezer Scrooge,
A man who lived alone and disliked everybody.
Bah.
A man who wouldn't even give a farthing to a poor, poverty-stricken child.
Bah, humbug.
A man who underpaid his clerk, Bob Cratchit.
Cratchit.
We heard how Ebenezer Scrooge was visited by the ghost of his former business partner, Jacob Marley. And Marley told him he would be visited by three spirits on three different nights at the stroke of 1 o'clock. The first of the spirits was the voice of Christmas past, who took Ebenezer back to when he was a poor, lonely boy without a friend on Christmas. And another Christmas when he was a young man. And his boss then, who gave a big Christmas party for everyone. And then the spirit of Christmas past vanished, and Ebenezer finally went to sleep. He slept fitfully, though, wondering if the next spirit would show himself. And then, at the stroke of 1 o'clock...
What's that ghostly light shining in the next room?
Ebenezer Scrooge, come. Come into this room and know me better.
But who are you?
I am the voice of Christmas present.
The voice of Christmas present? Oh, the voice of Christmas present. I am afraid of what I may see.
Come. Come with me.
Spirit, conduct me where you will. I went forth last night and learned a lesson. Tonight, if you would teach me, let me profit by it.
And so he and the spirit of Christmas present started out on a journey that opened the eyes of Ebenezer Scrooge. The spirit showed him many scenes of poverty and sadness in the land. And then...
Why, I know that house. That's the house of Bob Cratchit, my clerk.
Look inside and listen.
Merry Christmas, cousin! Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas to you!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, Bob!
God bless us, everyone.
Why, who is that poor lad?
That is your clerk's son, Tiny Tim.
But that crutch... He is bearing a crutch, and his limbs are supported by an iron frame.
Yes, look. See how Bob Cratchit is holding Tiny Tim's withered little hands in his? He fears of losing the lad.
Oh, tell me, kind spirit, does Tiny Tim live? Spirit? Spirit?
But the spirit vanished. But then a new phantom appeared.
Oh, oh. You, of course, are the ghost of Christmas yet to come.
Yes, I am the spirit of Christmas yet to come.
Oh, you are the one I fear most of all.
Come with me and tell me what you see.
Why, I see men on the street. What are they saying?
Listen.
No, I don't know much about it. I only know he's dead.
When did he die?
Last night, I believe.
Why, what was the matter with him? I thought he'd never die.
Oh, God knows.
What has he done with his money?
Oh, I haven't heard. He hasn't left it to me, I know that.
Likely to be a cheap funeral.
Yes, I should suppose so.
In my life, I don't know of anybody who would go to his funeral. Suppose a few of us volunteer, eh? Hmm?
Well, I don't mind if lunch is provided. But I must be fed if I go to his funeral.
And I'm not going to the funeral of Ebenezer Scrooge on an empty stomach. You can be sure of that.
Why, who are they talking about? Who has died?
Follow me. Tell me what you see.
Why, this is a church graveyard.
Yes, read the inscription on that stone.
It says, Ebenezer Scrooge. Oh, no, spirit. Oh, no. You hear me. Spirit, I am not the man I was. I will not be the man I must have been. Am I past all hope? Good spirit, assure me that I yet may change these shadows you have shown me by an altered life.
Ebenezer Scrooge, do you promise to honor Christmas? With all your heart, try to keep it all year.
Oh, yes, Spirit, yes. Oh, tell me I may sponge away the writing on this stone. Tell me, Spirit. Tell me. Spirit! Spirit! Why, he disappeared.
Yes, the spirit of Christmas yet to come vanished into thin air. And Ebenezer Scrooge looked about him. He saw, yes, the bed was his own. The room was his own. And he wondered how long he had been with the spirits. He opened the window and called out.
Pray tell me, boy, what's today?
A Christmas day, sir.
A Christmas day? I haven't missed it. The spirits have done it all in one night. Oh, dear fellow, do you know the poulterers in the next street?
Well, I should hope I did, sir.
Oh, an intelligent boy. A remarkable boy. Do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging there?
Oh, yes, sir. It's hanging there now, sir.
It is? Oh, go and buy it. Bring the man from the store with it. Here's half a crown. Bring him back in 5 minutes, and I'll give you a shilling.
And the boy was off like a shot and brought back the poulterer and the turkey. And Scrooge paid him a large price and got a cab to deliver it to Bob Cratchit's house and proceeded to get ready to go outside. And outside, it was a beautiful day. And Scrooge was a changed man. Why, can you imagine Scrooge saying,
Merry Christmas!
Yes, everyone on the street got a hearty,
Merry Christmas!
He greeted everyone. He went to church and gave a large donation to the poor. He walked gaily down the street. And always with,
Merry Christmas to you!
The next morning, Scrooge came early to the office. If he could be there first and catch Bob coming in late, that was what he wanted. And he did it. Yes, he did. The clock struck 9. No Bob. 1:15. No Bob. He was a full 18 minutes behind his time. Finally, when Cratchit came in...
Hello.
Oh, I'm very sorry, sir. I am behind me time.
You are? Yes, I think you are. Step this way, if you please.
It's only once a year, sir. It shall not be repeated. Please, sir. I'm very sorry, sir.
Now I'll tell you what, Cratchit.
Eh?
I'm not going to stand for this sort of thing any longer.
Oh, sorry, sir.
Therefore, I am about to raise your salary.
Oh, sir. Raise? Are you feeling all right, sir?
Never better. A Merry Christmas, Bob, and a merrier Christmas than I have given you for many a year.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'll raise your salary and endeavor to assist your struggling family.
Oh, sir.
And Cratchit. Make up the fires. Use more coal.
Yes, sir.
Before you dot another eye, Bob Cratchit.
Yes, bless you, sir.
And Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well if anybody did. May that be truly said of us and all of us. As Tiny Tim said, God bless us, everyone.